proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
For tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio today. We are so grateful, dear listeners, that you take time out of your day to tune into the program. We are very grateful to all of our listeners for all of your prayerful and your financial support. Did you know that you can do that right online? And it's not a profitless, I guess profitless is not the word, Scott, is it?
Well, we are a nonprofit organization.
We are a nonprofit organization.
But when you donate to AGR, it is not without profit. Is that what you're trying to say?
It is. It's early in the morning, and we do this, and sometimes we have not had enough coffee. So, but anyways, you can support the program. You can do that right online at agradio.org, agradio.org. There's a PayPal link, and consider this, that you're helping us take the gospel to the continent of Africa. We have we air out of Zambia off an Omni
directional
transmitter, and it really does cover the whole continent. Of course, we air in many places in the U.S. and Canada. So
we do. We air on great radio stations all over the United States. KARI in Blaine in the Pacific Northwest, and KPRZ in San Diego, KRDU in Fresno. So great stations. KRKS
Denver.
In Denver, 990 AM. And our newest station is KLMP, FM 88.3 in Rapid City, South Dakota, which is a beautiful place to go.
And out of Prince George, BC, and a few other places.
I'm sorry, Canadians. I did not mean to forget you.
Please don't forget the Canadians.
No, we love the Canadians.
Yes.
So and we appreciate your support.
We do. Absolutely. And so thank you.
And Canadians can donate, right?
Yes.
We're set up for that.
Yes. Sometimes it's tricky with
it
the nonprofit. It can be done. So, but anyways, we want to express our gratitude to you and all of your notes of encouragement. We received some. You know, someday, Scott, I know we need to get started here, but someday we need to read some of your letters.
We will. We will do a letters show. So if you want us to discuss something that you say to us, then how could they contact us?
Right. You can do that right online at agradio.org. There is a form there, submission. You can submit. It'll come right to us. We will take up your questions and read your letters right over the air one day. So do please take a moment to do that, and we'd be glad to do it.
And there's another thing you need to do online.
There's another thing. There's one other thing before we start today, unless we waste the whole show on this. But
no, it's not a waste.
It's not a waste.
This is valuable.
That's true.
Information.
Sure, very valuable.
We never waste people's time. This is important stuff.
That cowbell that he just had is the Huskers. Not my favorite team, Nebraska Huskers. But people like them.
This is the official AGR, Abounding Grace cowbell. All right, so
July 26th.
Yeah,
right,
July
Friday
26th,
night,
Friday night. Rosaria Butterfield is in conference here in Escondido. Rosaria Butterfield, From Victim to Guest, Sexuality, Intersectionality, and Hospitality.
Right.
And she's going to explain all these things, and these are things that you need to know about. If you have young people, even if you don't, if you watch the news, if you look at the internet, you will see that people are discussing these things. We're in the midst of a sexual revolution, and we're in the midst of a kind of political correctness revolution, and these things are connected to each other, and Rosaria is an expert in all of it, and she's going to come and talk to us about it. And it's only $25, and you can go to agradio.org/Rosaria. I know you're driving, so I want you to remember that, agradio.org/Rosaria. And when you pull over, when you're off the road, not at a stoplight, or when you get home, I want you to go to that site, and I want you to register for this conference, and then I want you to come.
Right, agradio.org/Rosaria. So please do it. We're going to be there, and we would love to meet you and talk with you. So again, July 26, 7 p.m., sign up for the conference. It's well worth your time and money to understand all the trends and things that are happening and to have a way that we assess these things biblically and understand what the Lord has told us and how to think through these challenging times.
Yeah.
Okay, today, Romans chapter 6, Scott. We are back to Romans chapter 6, episode 25 today.
I don't know.
It is.
No, it's episode, is it?
Okay. I do a lot of editing here. There's a episode 25, and I've enjoyed every single one of them. It's been rich and helpful and good for me. I think it might have been Chrysostom who said that he read the book of Romans through once a week. It was so profitable for him. Yeah, he needed it. He needed to remind himself that God is for him and not against him. And Christians need to understand that, which is what the book of Romans is telling us. If by faith in Christ, you are right with God, God is not your enemy. God is now your friend. He has done a wonderful thing for you by giving his son to save you from the wrath to come. And now what we're looking at in Romans chapter 6, we're beginning to look at some of the implications of the doctrine of justification by grace through faith alone, as we have unpacked and studied for these last weeks. And now, of course, this great question at the beginning of Romans 6 is, okay, if this is that wonderful, right? By faith, we believe these things. If this is that wonderful that we can be right with God and that he is for us and that he's forgiven us all our trespasses and that he loves us, well, if that's totally done outside of us, then why not just continue in sin that grace may abound? And he is saying essentially here, that's an impossibility. That's an impossibility because something has happened to you in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, being united to him by faith.
Yeah. Verse 9, Romans 6, 9, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. So that there's a baseline. Jesus has been raised. He cannot die again. Death, therefore, right, has no dominion over him. He has conquered death. So if you are united to Christ, then you are united to him in his resurrection life. And death no longer has dominion over you. So when you die physically, if you should die before the Lord returns, that is a dying to sin. That's a putting an end to sin. And that's a real thing. Your body is real. That's a part of who you are. It's the way the Lord made you, and it's a consequence of the fall. But it's not a judgment against you. You're not being condemned if you are in Christ. Death has been defeated, and you've been given new life. And then verse 10, for the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. And Paul says that very advisedly, right?
Yeah, right. And that can be a verse easily misunderstood.
Yeah, Jesus didn't sin.
Right, and he became sin for us, which means he took on all of our sins.
Imputation.
And carried them. Right.
Imputation. So our sins were credited, were imputed, and you know this, listener, you know this category. You do it all the time at work, right? If you work with a spreadsheet, you have to, and you do a budget every year, you have to impute a certain number of dollars for the budget next year, right? So you know these categories. So our sins were imputed to Christ and they were crucified in him. And his righteousness is imputed or credited or reckoned to us.
Right.
That's the great transaction about which Christian theologians have spoken so wonderfully.
Now, this leads us then to verse 11, which I want to spend a moment on with you, Scott. I think this is just a marvelous verse. There's another reckoning that needs to happen.
Yeah.
So God has done the reckoning. God has imputed, think about this, the imputation of Christ's righteousness. We are now reckoned righteous. We are forgiven, covered in the robes and righteousness of Jesus' perfect life, death, and resurrection. That has all been done outside of us. It was over there. Jesus has forgiven us. All these things have happened. Now, what he's saying to us here is something so beautiful in verse 11. So you now. Okay, so what, again, if you put that together with the question, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Heaven forbid, by no means. How could we who died to sin still live in it? Our responsibility in response to this marvelous truth, which is a way of gratitude, isn't it? Our response to this marvelous truth is to say, exactly verse 11, I must learn to consider, reckon to myself to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. In other words, I have to think of myself now as in light of what has been accomplished for me by God in Christ, right?
The word he uses here is the word to impute. Yeah. It's the very same word, logizesta, right? And so Paul says, since your sins have been credited to Christ, and since his righteousness has been credited to you, and since by grace alone, through faith alone, right, sola gratia, sola fide, you've been united to Christ, and you were united to him in his death, and he died to sin once for all. He was raised, and he's conquered death, right? You need to think of yourself in light of those truths and those realities. Yes, we know, as we're going to see in chapter 7, that you are still struggling with sin. But you need to learn to think of yourself in this way, to reckon yourself, consider yourself. That's important because it's true. Right? These things are true of you, even though you do not always consistently, moment by moment, experience them.
This may be a cheap illustration, but remember years ago on all the commercials that would come on, just say no. Just say no to the drugs, right? That was a huge campaign.
Yeah, during the Reagan administration.
During the Reagan administration of just say no. I mean, I still hear it to this day. Just say no. Just say no. In some sense here, that's exactly what he's telling you. You need to say no to your old self, your old life, the way that you used to live, and think of yourself now as brand new. You can say no to that. Now, obviously not in your own power. But what he's saying there is your whole thought process is different. You're free.
And
you're set free.
And there's two aspects, right? And this is really a foundational set of categories. And so I want you to remember this, actually. When people talk about the Christian life, they make it endlessly complicated sometimes. And they give you 7 steps or 12 steps or whatever. There are all these programs. I'm going to boil it down for you. There are only really 2 things to know about the Christian life. You ready? Dying to sin, living to Christ.
It's very simple.
That's it.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is, if you're interested, I learned those 2 categories, obviously, from Scripture. It's right here in verse 11, right? So you must consider yourselves dead to sin and also alive to God in Christ Jesus. But I learned it through the Heidelberg Catechism, questions 88, 89, and 90.
I remember years ago, and I think this is what people struggle with when they come to these categories of, okay, the dominion of sin has been shattered in your life, but its presence still remains. Sometimes experience doesn't seem that doesn't fit so nicely into those categories that we say here.
Yeah.
Experience seems to say, no, the dominion's still there. And I think part of it is, and we talked a little bit about this last time ending the show, that sometimes we have an unrealistic expectation of the progress in light of this beautiful truth, the progress that we'll actually make in this life, because we deeply want to honor the Lord now. All of our inclinations, our faculties, our will, it's been changed. And this great desire is, and I'm kind of a perfectionist, right? By nature. I don't know if you know that, but I am. And I don't handle well failure. So I remember a wise professor one day, a mentor told me, he said, listen, you're going to stumble at some point again. You're going to fall down. And you know what you do? You don't give up. You get up. And that's what the Lord is telling us.
And if you think of yourself this way, if you have reckoned yourself dead to sin and alive to Christ, right? Alive to God in Christ. And if you are united to Christ, and this is essential, right? If you are united to Christ by grace alone, through faith alone, if you're connected to him by the Holy Spirit, then you have been bought with a price by Jesus. You didn't do anything. It's not like, well, I did this, I did that, I was a pretty good person, you know, I gave this money or whatever you're thinking about, right? None of that matters. If you are, the question is, am I united to Christ by grace alone through faith alone? That's the question. And if that's true, right, then when you sin, it's not fatal. And you mustn't think, oh, well,
exactly.
I sinned. This is a really bad one that I did. And, you know, that's too much. It's over the line. If you think that way, you are still thinking in terms of a covenant of works and not a covenant of grace. You have been received by God by grace, unmerited favor, alone.
You're in the last Adam. He's already made this distinction. You're not in the first Adam. You're in the last Adam. Categorically, it's all been changed.
And that's what you have to know, and you have to believe that, and you have to even say it of yourself in order to live the Christian life. Right? And this is why he goes on to say in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your, and this is so interesting, mortal body.
And even the word reign is so important there. What did reigning sin look like before you were converted? Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think we need to talk about all that, but we know Paul will say here in a minute.
That is what you were. That's what controlled you.
It controlled you.
You were completely under the domination.
You were happy in it.
We could say ruled maybe by it. Well, I mean, you don't know anything else,
right?
And this is living in disobedience to God when you're outside of Christ is the norm rather than the exception. I'm not saying that people who are outside of Christ are as bad as they can be. By God's restraining mercies, we're not as bad as we can be. But when you're outside of Christ, you're not really interested in being obedient. You're not interested in struggling against sin. And you might feel remorse for consequences, and you might even feel a sense of a nagging sense of guilt, right? I remember that, being an unbeliever and feeling a sense of guilt. But it wasn't that I had offended God, right? I mean, in a sense, I think somewhere in my consciousness, I knew that was true. But in the front of my consciousness wasn't, well, I know that God hates this, and I know I've hurt him. I know this is wrong and it's bad and that sort of thing. But it,
yeah, and I might get caught.
I might get caught. Yeah, fear of consequences.
Right.
Right. Though it's almost hard to distinguish those. And Paul says,
hold on, before you go on that, you remember those shows? I can't remember what network did those shows where they would catch sexual predators, and then they would send a decoy out.
Yeah, NBC.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was NBC. And then it was an amazing moment when you studied their reactions, right? These men would follow these women. And then, of course, there come the cameras, there comes the reporter.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden, their whole life has been exposed before everyone. And what is the overwhelming sense of pain and guilt that happens? I've been caught. I've ruined my life. That's a different response. Now, that may happen to the believer. They may say those things. But what ultimately burdens us, I love what you just said, what ultimately pains us is we have sinned against a God who's loved us this way.
Yeah.
You know, that's a whole different kind of response than I was caught, right?
Yeah. I mean, for the Christian, when we are dying to sin, and that's, we call that the doctrine of sanctification, and especially the doctrine of progressive sanctification. So we are once for all definitively justified. We've been once for all saved. And now that salvation is being applied to us by the Holy Spirit so that, Paul says, let not sin, that is disobedience to God, violation of his law, transgression of his holy law, let that not rule in your mortal body. That's so interesting. So this language of ruling, the verb let not rule, right, is a verb that has to do with kingdoms. Is the verb that he uses there. It's related to the noun basileia, which is the Greek word for kingdom. So let not sin rule like a king, if we can stretch this a little bit, use the imagery, over your mortal body. That's so interesting that he connects those two things. Uh-huh. Why? Because God said, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And the traditional Christian understanding of Genesis 2 and 3 is that death entered the world through the fall. That was the, in the 5th century, 4th and 5th centuries, that was the predominant view, that was the Augustinian view against Pelagius, who said, well, no, death is sort of baked into things. And the Augustinians, which is most of us through the history of the church, particularly in the West, have said, no, death is the consequence of the fall. So it's interesting. He says, let not sin reign in your mortal body. In other words, remember, you are dying, and your body, because of sin, is dying, and therefore you have to fight against it.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Sin, something has to be resisted. Rather than letting sin rule over you, you have to contest that.
Right. He's making all these categorical distinctions here. I like your emphasis here on sort of a kingdom emphasis here. And also then notice here, to obey its passions. He's about ready to make a huge categorical distinction between two types of slavery, two types of bondage, to help us understand this. But notice that you either are going to give yourself to obey the passions, you're submitting to these desires, or in the newness of life now, you have a desire to obey the law of God.
Not in order to be saved,
right,
or in order to be justified, but because you have been saved and because you have been justified by God's undeserved favor, undeserved to you, earned for you by Christ, by grace alone, through faith alone. So what does it mean to not allow sin to reign over your mortal body? It says in verse 13, do not present your members. And your members are the parts of you that are you. Right, you are composed of members.
Your body. I mean, think about how Jesus talked about the eye as the inlet, right, of what you look at. Think of how he taught the feet of where you walk. He gave all of these ways of describing using our body parts to describe here members of.
Yeah, everything that makes you, the way you think, right? So in the moral law, we say that God says we're supposed to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So everything that makes you, so your hands, your eyes, your feet, so what you do, what you think, what you say, the things you love, the choices you make, the decisions you make, your will, all of those things. And that's all part of what makes you, and you don't present, if you're a believer, you're struggling to not present those parts of you that make up you to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. There's a process by which sin happens, and James details it. He has a wonderful sort of a metaphor to describe the process of sin. And of course, some of our older writers gave great attention to how it comes about that those of us who've been redeemed by grace alone, through faith alone, give ourselves to sin. And just to be aware of how that process happens helps us to know. I've sometimes talked about, from James, the obstetrics of sin, how that process happens. We need to be conscious of that.
Right. And so he summarizes somewhat here before he moves on to a new sort of train of thought in verse 14, where he says, and what a verse this is. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Now, that's very important. We've been developing that thought the whole time throughout our study here in the book of Romans, covenant of works, covenant of grace. What does it mean to be under the law? Well, it means under the law for condemnation. In other words, the law says, as we've said this, do this and live, right? The law gives us a holy and righteous standard. And sin has, think about what we're about to look at in Romans 7 is actually the law, which is given, which is good, will arouse sin in us and show that dominion that is there present. So the law says don't, and we want to go do. That's why when sin is so attractive to us, because it's wrong. But what he's saying here is now that you've been brought out of the old and into the new, now that you're out of the first Adam into the last, you are now no longer have that same relationship. Think about this.
You've been brought from death to life.
Death to life. And under grace, under a gracious arrangement. Look at this beautiful truth. Under a gracious arrangement where God is your Father. God cares for you. God loves you. God desires to help you, forgive you, cleanse you, pick you up. This is why 1 John says, when you sin, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to cleanse you from sins and right
and to forgive,
and forgive you for all your unrighteousness. You're under that kind of gracious relationship. That's what motivates us to want to live the Christian life. And I think we've talked about this 10 times in this show, Scott, at least, that, you know, we don't motivate people to new obedience by beating them with the law. We motivate them by saying what Paul says here. You're not under grace. You are now under grace. You don't have to live in your former way of life.
You don't present your members to sin. And so this is the imagery of saying, okay, sin, here you go. I'm ready to go. Here I am. Do what you want.
Well, thanks for tuning into Abounding Grace Radio today. We're going to have to stop there, and we will come back next time to continue this discussion on Romans chapter 6. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.